seasoned counselors everywhere. I'm in the middle of my kind of folks, that's for sure. I was talking a few minutes ago with one of the guys that came by, and it's hard to get better than a week at Faith talking with people who love to help people and understand the battle and understand the struggle. That's for sure. We're going to be talking this hour. By the way, I'm Kevin Carson. I pastor, have the privilege of serving Christ as pastor of the Sunrise Baptist in Ozark, Missouri, as well as I'm the department chair of biblical counseling at Baptist Bible College and Theological Seminary in Springfield, Missouri. For those that may have kids that are in high school thinking about undergraduate, this last year we were able to start a brand new undergraduate program in biblical counseling. That's a really cool program. Has about 60 hours of the totality of the degree in counseling. So we'd be happy to visit with you about that. That's what we have, a residential seminary. If you have considered being in a seminary or getting a master's degree, or you want to really grow in counseling and you can't be in a residence program, let me strongly encourage you to think about the one here at Faith. It's a great program. It's lots of faculty. I have the privilege of being one of them in the summer, and it's just delightful students. The whole program's good, so I'll encourage you that way as well. If you'll find your notes, we're going to be talking about the counselor's voice, specifically how you counsel and the words that you use, the tone of the direction you're going in terms of the theological tone. So let's do this. You've got a partner next to you, or at least you can read their name tag and get a partner next to you. And let's take about 1 minute for each person. So we'll do one for a minute and then another person. Look at the person next to you and share with them the most exciting thing that happened to you this year in counseling. So take 1 minute each and look at the person next to you and tell them the most exciting thing that happened to them this year in counseling. All right, if I can have your attention again. How many of you have heard an encouraging story? Yeah, lots of people. Excellent. All right, let's flip it. We're going to take about a minute each and share with the person next to you the most challenging. I don't want to say necessarily most discouraging, but one of the individuals you tried to help this week or this year, but in the process you left certainly saddened that it didn't go the way that you had hoped in terms of this person's lifestyle or this person's life. So why don't you share that for a challenge from this past year? Go ahead and share that with the person next to you. All right, let me have your attention again then. There have been some years where the first half of that conversation would have been easier and more fun to share. When you see people growing and changing and it's exciting and you'd love to look at the person next to you and say, you would never believe what happened this year. God's grace in this person's life was incredible. There's some years where there's sure a lot more of the second kinds of stories versus the first, where you just are aware of people's suffering. You're aware of their struggle. You're aware of their sin. Possibly you have a hard time getting them to the place of repentance. So in this hour, we're going to be talking about the counselor's voice, the way that we counsel individuals. And I want to build it out of the foundation of 2 Peter 1, which I'm going to suggest to you as a model for personal growth. If you'll notice in the introduction, the reality is counselees struggle. The other reality is counselors struggle. You, me, us, we all struggle. The nature of the struggle is living consistent with whom we are in Christ. Every one of us in the room, we have something very much in common with the people that we counsel, and that is we're fellow strugglers. We're in the same race. We're in the same struggle. Sometimes they're in the slow lane, and we're in the fast lane. Sometimes we're the ones in the slow lane, and they actually do better. At times, my counselees come in, and they're doing better than I am on a particular day. Consider the typical day. So you go to bed the night before, and maybe for whatever reason, you're thinking about Christ. And so you actually lay down and think, man, I've got my alarm set. Can't wait to get up in the morning. Can't wait to do some reading. I'm at a section I'm really excited to read. I'm enjoying this devotion. I'm enjoying my prayer life. And so you have a busy day the next day. You set your alarm early. only for your spouse or for the phone or something to ring, and you realize you've missed your alarm and all of your time with God is gone. So angrily, you get all of your clothes on, you rush to get out the door, maybe you bark at a few children, kick a dog or especially a cat, and that you just do that as part of the morning routine. So you love your animals, and in the process you think, how in the world can I blow it, and it's just barely 7:30. Or maybe you made it past that. You did get up. You did your reading. Maybe you even put on a Spotify or something, and you had a fantastic session of singing while you were in the shower, wherever you listen to your music, and you've had a great morning. You get in the vehicle, you head down the vehicle or head down the road, and you get behind someone that just is not on the same page you are on this day. And within just a few miles, you've gone from singing praises to certainly speaking in an unknown tongue at this other person. Maybe waving in deformed ways at the people in front of you. Maybe you get past that. Maybe you get to where you work, whether it's a ministry or whatever your job is, and so you're there, and as soon as you arrive, the person that you answer to, that person comes in and they haven't had their devotions and they haven't prayed, and they come in with a grumpy spirit. And they say something that you receive as very poor. And then within just a few minutes, you find yourself discontent. You think, how in the world is this possible? How can I be this weak that just a few minutes into my day, I'm already struggling? Maybe you're a mom and you're at home and your children wake up and decide today's not a homeschooling day. Even though your agenda is, we're going to homeschool. And within a few minutes, the children that you've prepared for, the children that you love, the children you stayed up late last night preparing your lesson plans for, within a few minutes you think, why am I their mom? Why don't I just send them off to school? Or why don't I just am tired of this? And so again, there's a sense of struggle. Or you get past all of that. It's toward the end of the day. The man or wife, whichever one, arrives home first or is already at home. You're making your plans. Everything's good. The other spouse walks in and just makes a comment that doesn't sit in your ears right. Not that they were necessarily trying to be sinful. Maybe it was thoughtless or whatever it was, but you heard it as if it was an attack. And so now toward the end of the day, you've blown that part of it. It's a typical day. We share that with our counselees. In fact, if we would say, consider the other person, right? We hear our counselee stories. If you're like me, when they walk in, I had this one couple, every Saturday night was their fight night. I mean, it was as good as WWE. When you listen to the story, they would prepare all week, I think. And when Saturday night hit, man, was it bad. And I asked them to keep a journal of their struggle. And it was fascinating reading. I mean, Friday nights or Saturday nights, every Saturday night, this couple just really struggled. And it's easy to read theirs and think, man, I wish they would change. I'm saddened that every weekend, even before Sunday, the Lord's Day, they just go into that with such high-level struggle and such poor spirits. And it's a tough thing. Or maybe you are talking to somebody and you realize how often they struggle. Maybe it's with particular thoughts or with particular emotions, or they've been sinned against and just trying to work through all the sin that's happened in their life. As I visit with counselees, you've probably been there where you even mention a topic and you see their entire body tense up. And you think in your mind, man, there's got to be a way they can get past this. It's a struggle. What are some of the most common struggles? Let me just give you, these are just off the, this is my short list of stuff that I see often. You could come up with your own short list, so I won't spend a long time on it just because it's not tied to a text necessarily. But one of them is coasting. Believing that we're fine today and we can work more or harder tomorrow to become more like Christ in actual practice. I have people and you just want to say, how can you think that this is fine? I have to look in the mirror sometimes and say, how can you think this is fine? Why did you take today off in terms of trying to grow to be more like Christ? Why were you coasting today, giving into the flesh?